Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today I want to talk about you can praise, yes, praise, shout your way to victory. Amen. But Pastor Chuck, you don't understand what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. Put the word first, like we talked about earlier. Put the word first. Come on. I can't think of this. I cannot think of a more enjoyable way to live than to give God praise and be thankful. Come on. You don't have to wait for it until Thanksgiving. Well, that's usually when I kick it in. No, that's good, but hang on. Why not just kick it in now and enjoy life? Start drawing from those wells like they just sung about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's wells in you. Well, I don't have any joy. Well, wait a minute. No joy. Don't lie. Come you on. Got joy.
Amen.
The fruit of the Spirit is in you. Amen. It's all in you. It's in full form. A lot of times I heard this. The fruit of the Spirit is in you in seed form. Well, actually, no. It's in the inward man. It's full. It's there.
Yeah.
I am complete in Christ. I am as He is. So am I in this world. The joy of the Lord is in me.
Come on, man.
Now you will have to draw it up.
Come on.
Right. We used to have an old pump. Well, it's still there at the old house. And you'd have to prime that pump sometimes to get that water to take hold, get that air, you know. And I'm not saying you have to prime, but there are times when I find myself, I just have to prime the pump a little bit, start rejoicing. It may sound like you got a lot of air. But you keep priming it, and then you hit those gushers. Cold water starts to come up. Come on. That's what you got. You got to... It's in you, saints. Don't let the devil tell you you have no joy. It's in you. I can think of several times this year I laid in bed and I talked myself happy. In other words, I would start singing to myself a song, a hymn, a praise. And I'm not talking about hours and hours. I'm just talking a few minutes. And all of a sudden, it comes. Right there in my bed by myself. Well, my wife's there, of course. I'm not saying I wasn't screaming. I wasn't doing some type of Pentecostal maneuver. I was just there singing to myself, and I could feel that joy come up in me. It's that simple. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that you have no joy. You got it. It's all in you, but you have to yield to it. You have to draw it up. But anyway, I'm talking about praise, and it's the most enjoyable way to live life. Living a life of praise and thanksgiving, and what that does, it has power to change your life.
Amen.
So it's like a two-hit thing. It changes you. You're getting joy out of it. You're getting filled from it. And plus, it's changing the circumstances that you want to get rid of. Amen. I have a train set in my basement. And that train set, that locomotive, I look at it, it's like my praise. That locomotive is always leading the charge. And my grandkids get on this, they get on the controls. And that engine, the horn is not in the caboose.
Come on,
praise is not in the caboose.
That's right.
That caboose ain't leading nothing.
Yep.
But that locomotive has got all the power, and it also has the horn. And my grandkids love to toot the horn. So that locomotive is going around the mountain, and it's leading the charge. That's what your praise should be. Your mouth should be shouting praises, leading the locomotive. Come on. Well, Pastor Chuck, you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm going through. Listen, don't be a caboose.
Come on.
Anyone could be a caboose. You're just following the circumstances. Get out in front. Come on.
Amen.
Victory's already been given to you. We're just enforcing it.
Amen.
You know, the title is Praising Your Way to Victory, but in essence, we could say this. You're enforcing the victory by your praise and worship, by your praise and thanksgiving. You're enforcing what's already done at Calvary.
Amen.
So praise does a lot, saints. We should have a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving. You don't have to wait till Thanksgiving. You can, every day should be filled.
Amen.
Filled.
Come on, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hallelujah. Of course, it's Hebrews 13. Let's see. 15. It says, therefore, 13:15, are you there?
Amen.
Therefore, by him, let us, whenever we feel like it, whenever it's convenient, if possible. It says, therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. Continually. Praise and thanksgiving affects at least three areas I can think of. First area, it's going to affect you.
Amen.
The Bible says we abound, Colossians 2:7 says we abound in our faith through thanksgiving. So that tells me if I'm not abounding in my thanksgiving, my faith is not abounding. No thanksgiving, no praise, no abounding. Right?
Amen. Amen.
The second area affects praise. It's going to affect the enemy. The devil cannot stand it. You start praising, he starts going. He flees.
Amen.
Now, we can talk a lot about that one, but we'll let that one go for right now. So praise not only affects you, it affects the enemy. It causes the enemy to flee. And number three, it affects God.
Yeah.
Well, how can it affect God? Your praises go up. The Bible says it's a sacrifice of praise. In other words, the sweet aroma of that sacrifice goes up to him. Paul talks a lot about the sacrifices, that aroma that goes up in your giving, your walk, your... A lot. We can go into a two-part series just on that. But the point I'm trying to make is that when you praise, it affects God. God gets involved in your circumstance. He gets involved. He actually comes down because of that sweet smell of aroma of praise. Why? Because it's given in Jesus' name. He comes down and he sets on that. See, when they used to give sacrifice in the Old Testament, it got God's attention. That smoke went up into the heavens. It got God's attention. The Bible said he inhabits the sacrifice, the praises of our, he inhabits our praises, the sacrifice of our praises. He actually sits on it. See, that's another demonstration of the Holy Spirit. You know, you could talk about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. First of all, God's Spirit is everywhere. It doesn't mean it's in manifestation. But see, God sent the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to this earth. Why would he do that? Because the Spirit of God's everywhere. It's just another demonstration of his grace. We'll be forever in neons and eternity trying to figure out God's grace. Because it's endless. You're not going to figure God out. He's good. That's about the only thing He's good. Amen. So let's talk about this praise. Praise should be leading the charge. Praise always precedes the victory.
Amen.
Don't ever think, I'm going to tell you right now, griping and complaining is not leading. It repels. You want God involved in your circumstances? Watch what you say. Because if you're griping and complaining about what's going on, because listen, it's easy to do, isn't it? You listen to the reports, what's going on, and you start griping and complaining, what happens? You lose your focus. Praise and thanksgiving helps you to keep focused on what God has already done for you.
Come on.
See, I'm not trying to get God to do something for me. You understand what I'm saying? You got to fight from the victory side of this. I'm not trying to get God to get me the victory. I'm not trying to get God to do something for me. If I can just praise God enough, He'll do something for me. He's already done it. You're always on the victory side of this. You're always on the victory ground. You're not trying to get something. You are enforcing the victory. You're enforcing what He has already done and accomplished for you at the cross, His death and burial and resurrection. We call it the finished works. It's a done deal. But praise and thanksgiving gets us in a place that we can receive what He's already done for you. Whatever that may be. God does not want you to be lacking in anything in this life. Why would He want you to be lacking when He's already paid the price for you to be abounding? You understand what I'm saying? It's a lot of times, and I have to kind of watch this, we kind of get on this other side, and we get this mindset, I got to try and get this. I got to try and get blessed. I got to. No, we're already, we're already highly favored. We're already seated with Him in heavenly places. All these spiritual blessings belong to us. But what I'm trying to get across is praise and thanksgiving puts us in a position to start receiving more of His goodness. Let's look at Abraham. Turn to, Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Romans 4. Romans 4. God does not want you barren in any area. He doesn't want you lacking. He doesn't want you missing out because He's already paid the price for you. Hallelujah. Romans 4:17 17 through 21, we find Abraham and Sarah, we find them barren. He's old, she's old. They're not producing. So what does God do? He's got to get Abraham and Sarah out of this condition. So the first thing He does is to change His name. In other words, He's got to get the promise in His mouth. Right? So Abraham changes his name. He gets in agreement with God. And every time he speaks his name, he's actually confessing what God has called him to be. So in other words, he's calling those things that are those things which be not as though they were. So God changes his name, puts the seed in his mouth and heart. Listen, he's still barren. But in a process of time, you got to give it time. Come on, you give your doctors time. He gives you a prescription. You don't think twice about it. It says here, take it for 3 days or 3 weeks, one pill every day. You're going to do it because you want to get well. We got His word, His report, His prescription. So we got. So when you take in the seed of God's word, you got to give it time. It's like you plant seed in the garden. You got to give it time. Your heart is a production. Your production area is right in your inner, right here, in your in the heart. So your faith has to be in your mouth and in your heart. So God's got to put His, God put His seed in Abraham's mouth to get it into his heart. Amen. So Adam or Abraham begins to speak the promises of God. What's he doing? He's calling those things which be not as though they were. Come on. Amen. Even though he's barren, he's not being fruitful at that point in time. Now look at verse, I want you to look at verse 19. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, although dead, barren, since he was about 100 years old, and the deathness or barrenness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Now here it is. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That word strengthened means a process of time. In other words, it did not happen overnight. Let me read from another translation here. The ESC, I believe. I got this written down. It says here, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Let me read that again. But he grew strong in faith as. His faith was growing as he did what? He gave glory. So, you see the connection? Faith growing as he did something. As he gave glory. That word glory means praise. Every time he spoke his name, he was giving God glory, honor, praise, because he's putting him first. He put the word in his mouth. He's not considering the circumstances. Come on. What helped him to keep focus? What helped him to keep focus was keeping his mind, his mouth, giving glory to God. As he gave glory, as he gave praise. All of a sudden now, what was barren over within a year's time, come on. Before this time, it's been 24 years. Now, all of a sudden, his mouth is in line with what God said. He begins to call. Well, Pastor Chuck, I'm just waiting for God to call those things. No, you're going to have to do, you're going to have to do something. It's come down to that. You're going to have to take your faith. It's not even your faith. It's God's faith. That's grace. Grace and faith. That's all from Him. He's giving you everything. We will not be able to brag about nothing when we get to heaven. You're not going to be able to brag. Well, Lord, did you see my great faith down there? There is no area for that. You understand what I'm saying? It's His grace, His faith. But listen, you're going to take that faith and you're going to give glory to God. And in a process of time, what was lacking in your life will become fruitful. Yes. All through praise and thanksgiving, giving Him honor, giving His word first place in your life. So in other words, we can walk in the same steps that Abraham walked in. There is no excuse. Because it's not your faith and it's not your grace. He's provided everything for us to walk in victory. Well, Pastor Chuck, I just, you don't understand. All these problems coming my way. And no, don't be a caboose about it. Don't be a caboose. Get out in front. Get out. Get like Abraham. Hey, I don't care what the circumstances are doing. I don't care what's going on. I just got the word in my mouth. I'm chucking right on through. Whatever it takes, up the mountain, down the mountainside, it doesn't matter. I'm going through it. Amen. If God could be for you, who could be against you? You got the word. You got hit the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. There is no failure here. If there's a failure, it's because we didn't do something. We probably got over in complaining. You end up instead. You know, it's like the passenger. You know, you're supposed to be running the train, or the engineer's supposed to be running the train, but he ends up being in the caboose. Well, who's running the train? You're supposed to be up front here, boy. Get up here. Hallelujah. Amen. So you could do just like Abraham if you put your praise out in front of you. Come on, and keep your focus on him. Consider not the circumstances, and you'll come out and you'll fulfill your destiny that God has planned for you. He's already planned it. But you gotta have to follow his plan. It's not your plan, it's his plan. Hallelujah. Come on. So we can praise our way right into our destiny, right into where God wants us to be. It's not by luck. Luck has nothing to do with it. That's not, you don't find luck in God's word. Hallelujah. Look at Paul and Silas. Hallelujah. That's exactly what Paul and Silas did. Acts 16. Hallelujah. I'm going the wrong direction here. Of course, all these things we know, but this is good to go over them. Acts 16, verse 25, we find Paul and Silas at the midnight hour. Come on, you ever had a midnight hour? I think we've all had a midnight hour. Things are not going right. You did everything right. Right? They're doing what God's called them to do. But they've been beaten with rods, put in prison. The Bible says the inner prison, down in the dungeon. Saints, this is not a Holiday Inn. There's no workout rooms. There's no swimming pool. But the feet has been beaten with rods, and they're hurting. Surely, you think you will find them griping and complaining? Look at this. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So evidently it wasn't a whisper, but they were singing hymns to God, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from his sleep and seeing the prisoners' doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, and drew his sword about to kill himself. But look at this. Now listen. Listen to this. Now, I got to say this because we got to watch our motive. Am I praising God just to get a breakthrough? Now, hear me out. What's your motive? Am I praising God just so I got a lack and I just need to praise God until I get this lack covered? Then what's your motive for praising God? What's your motive for thanking Him? See, are you after the fish and loaves only? Is it? I'm just asking a question because we have to judge ourselves on these things. Is it? Do I just want a fish and a loaf? Or am I praising Him out of my heart because I love Him? Am I praising Him because, you know, He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And you know what? I just praise Him. You know what? I don't care. I got this breakthrough. I have a need. But you know what? I don't care if it takes 100 years. I'm going to praise Him, and I'm going to worship Him, and I'm going to thank Him. I don't care what else happens. Is that your attitude? That should be your attitude. I'm not in it for a loaf. I'm not in it to get a couple of fishes. I'm in it to praise and to give thanks to Him because it's my way of life. And I'm giving it to Him because I love Him. Amen. And that's only because He first loved me.
That's right.
I'm just giving back to Him what's due.
Amen.
He's due. He's worthy of all praise. Now listen, look at this. Now, if they were praising God just for the breakthrough, come on. If they were praising God just for the breakthrough, and if I, let's say if I was doing that, if I was just praising God for a breakthrough, and those and the jail doors opened up, I'd been like a 57 Chevy, should be gone, right? Breakthrough, I'm gone. Where's Chuck? He's gone. Breakthrough. But listen to what they did. Now, a lot of times I think we kind of miss this. In verse 20, I think it's 28. But Paul said with a loud voice, saying, "Do not do yourself no harm, for we are all what?
Here."
Here. Isn't that, hold it now, isn't that something? So, not only, obviously, I'm sure they were praying for a breakthrough, but more than that, they were praising God out of a loving, true heart, out of love. They all stuck around, saints. Like I said, they were beaten with rods. Not only did they stay, but all the prisoners stayed. So it had an effect on everybody. What I'm saying is when you start praising and thanking God, it not only affects you, but listen, it starts to affect other people too. They having a little revival there.
Amen.
Come on. Well, Pastor, I just want to get through this. I just want to break through. You don't know what I'm going through. It's been 3 months. I just need a breakthrough. If you will have the attitude that I give God praise and thanksgiving as a lifestyle because I love Him, I guarantee you, you'll start giving birth to the things you've been desiring to have. Your healing will start coming. Listen, you have this attitude. Kenneth E. Hagin used to talk about this. I don't care if it takes 100 years. Just have the attitude. The Word always works. Have the attitude. I praise Him no matter what. Have the attitude. I'm always thankful. Have the attitude. It doesn't matter what the government's trying to do. It doesn't matter what they're trying to impose. I don't care. I'm giving God praise.
Amen.
More than likely to come a whole lot faster than just trying to pray for a breakthrough. Because God looks at the motive. You're not fooling God a bit. It's like giving your tithes and your money, your motive behind it. It's like day and night, saints. Now, here's the thing. If you don't have the right motive, you can correct it real quick. Just change.
That's right. Amen.
Just change.
Amen.
Just say to yourself, I don't care. I don't care if it takes 100 years. I don't care.
Right.
I'm living a life. I'm going to stick my nose in this Word. I'm going to attend to His Word. And I'm going to give Him praise. I'm going to give Him all the glory. And I guarantee you, breakthrough will come. But with that, you'll continue to praise God. You won't leave God with the fish and the loaves. Where'd Pastor Chuck go to? I don't know. He got a breakthrough. He's gone like a 57 Chevy. We don't know where he's at. We think he got a boat. Well, I heard he got a promotion on his job. He got a boat, I guess, huh? No, we live a life, right? A praise. I guarantee you, just like Abraham, he got in, he put the word first, he put the word in his mouth, started to give glory to God. And over time his faith started to grow. And then birth. He gave birth to the thing he always wanted. Oh, he had an Ishmael. Come on, we've had our Ishmaels. But the thing he wanted was Isaac. When he got things in order, Isaac appeared. The thing that he was lacking, the thing he most wanted, came. Saints, we could do the same thing. Come on. Praise. Praise always goes before. It's always leading the charge. You know if you are or not. I don't have to say, well, you know. You know. And there's, from time to time, we all have to make adjustments. Amen. But God wants us to praise Him all the time. No matter what the circumstances. Turn with me to Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. Saints, living a life of praise, you ought to have a shout. Come on, you ought to have a shout. I mean, don't wait for something to line up. Show, get out in front. Get your praise out in front. Get your thanksgiving out in front. Start abounding. Get that locomotive going. You know, there's no reason not to. There's no reason to lag. There's no reason to set back. Saints, listen. We got eternity in front of us. We ought to be the most joyful, happiest people on this planet. Amen. Well, Pastor, I'll be happy once I go. You know, I'm planning on having a big steak today. Once I have that big steak, get my belly full, then yeah, I'll give God a praise. That's a sad life, isn't it? But then. Isaiah 54. Notice how it starts. We know this one. It says, sing. Come on, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the saints. I'm talking about the church. Amen. It says, sing, O barren. Now, you read in the Hebrew, it says two words. It's sing and barren. They are extremes in the emotional spectrum of things. You got on this side, you have a person who is singing, who is shouting. Okay? And you got on this side of the spectrum, a person who is barren, unproductive, fruitless. So what does God say to the barren? What does God say to the unproductive? Any area in your life that's not being productive, God is saying this to you this day. He's saying, sing, sing, sing. In other words, shout the victory. Don't wait until you try to get a breakthrough. Don't wait. This is God saying this. He's saying, sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Huh. But why would I do that? Because of what happened in in the previous chapter, chapter 53, verse 5. Read this. It says, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. In other words, you can sing, and God expects you to sing because of what He did in chapter 53. Amen. Jesus took it. Our chastisement fell on Him. The chastisement of our peace fell on Him. Listen, that word peace means shalom. It means complete. It means wholeness, prosperity, safety. It means everything. It's been bought and paid. Because of what He did. Let's read that again. But He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, that word peace is shalom, was upon Him. By His stripes you were healed. So saints, everything, that word peace, shalom, belongs to you. Everything. Wholeness. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Amen. That's the reason you should be shouting. Because victory is yours. In other words, He's saying you're in victory, even though you may be showing barrenness. But if you just shout based on what He's already done for you, you can bring it on over. Let's just like Abraham. This verse is telling you basically the same thing that Abraham did. You are to walk in the exact same steps. You're calling those things which be not as though they were. You're starting to shout. Come on, you got your locomotive out in front, even though you're not seeing anything yet, but you're by faith. You're praising and giving thanks. In other words, you're releasing faith. Your praise and thanksgiving is an expression of what you believe. It's out in front. And as you do your due diligence, what He's already done will come into manifestation. Amen. It's about bringing in what He's already accomplished for you to show up.
Amen.
It's appropriating what He's already done for you. So it's not like I'm trying to get something. I already got it. But I have... See, listen, let me back this up. The fight... Let me say this. The fight is not trying to get it. The fight is trying to keep it.
Amen.
Just have a mind frame. I'm not trying to get something. The mind frame is... I got to enforce what I already have.
Right.
I'm just saying, to me, it's a lot easier. You still have to appropriate it, no matter. To me, it's always been easier that I have the victory. I have. When God looks at me, He already sees me healed. He sees me. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. He sees me whole. So what I have to do is enforce what He's already done. So that's where praise and thanksgiving comes in. I'm thanking Him for what He's done for me. I have peace. I have shalom. I just look at it how God looks at it. As He is, so are we in this world. I lack no good thing. Now, in the natural, I may be lacking some things. Just like Abraham, he's lacking Isaac. But he stuck with it. You got to stick with it. You may be barren now, you may be lacking now, but the price has already been paid. Come on, you just got to enforce what's already been done. And you get your praise out in front. You get your thanksgiving out in front. And you just keep trucking on down until what? You give. So what you're doing is, listen, praise, thanksgiving gets you in a birthing position. I want to give birth to everything that God has for me. And if there's anything, listen, Abraham had to go through the process and so do you. You're going to birth out of the inward, out of your heart. That's the production area. That's where it's coming from. Oh, I thought it come from somewhere else. It's coming through you. So as you give God honors, you give Him word, you give Him His praise, there is something coming out of you. You're about to give birth. And sometimes birth pains can be kind of, well, of course, I didn't have to give birth to the kids, but Joanne did. And it was hard on me. This giving birth is not the easiest thing, isn't it, Pastor Jerry? There was one time the doctor told me to sit down. Yeah, they were, you know, I was the coach for Joanne, you know, coaching, telling her how to breathe and stuff. And the nurse, no, actually the doctor told me, you need to sit down. Because sometimes giving birth, even in the spiritual, sometimes when you get to that hard place, come on, you get to a hard place, you got to just, come on, even though you're living a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving, that's a good time really to kick it in. Just get, blow the horn, get that horn going. Come on. Get yourself in that birthing position, just like Abraham did it. That's how we do it too. Verse 3, it says, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings and do not spare. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. In other words, enlarge. And saints, I will say it just in a passing. In that verse, you really need to focus on enlarging on the inside. There is enlarging on the outside, but enlarge. You know, the Bible says, commit to God and His Word, the Word of His grace, and which is able to build you up to receive the inheritance. Like I'm paraphrasing it, but put the Word of grace in you. Build yourself up on the Word. Come on. Number one. Number two. Jude says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So focus first of all on enlarging yourself on the inside.
Come on.
Inside. In other words, prepare yourself for increase on the inside. So when increase does come, you're ready for it.
Amen.
We won't be looking for you. You're able to handle it. Increase on the inside. Then on the outside, yeah, plan. Listen, plan for financial increase. Plan for if you're sick. Make plans to do things you couldn't do before. Make plans. In other words, have an expectancy. You're expecting what? Expecting to give birth. So you prepare for that. You're not laying around doing nothing. Well, I guess if God wants to do it, He'll do it. No, He's already done it. You have to do something. It's come down to that. You're going to use the faith that He's given you by His grace and power to put these things into motion. Amen. Verse 3, it says, I'm going to wind up here. Verse 3, it says, for you shall, you notice that word you? You need to put your name in there. For you. He ain't talking about the one next to you. He's talking to you, the church. All these blessings come to us through Abraham. We all know that. So you have to prepare. You have an expectancy. You do all the things you can in the natural. You do all the things you can in the spiritual. Prepare. God wants it more than you do. Well, do you really think so? Saints, He laid it all out. He didn't come down from heaven. He didn't send His only Son just for Himself. Jesus didn't die for Himself. He did it all for us. He did it for you. He did it for you. You're acting just like Abraham. You're putting yourself in a birthing position to give birth to the things you did. Is there anything, think of any area right now, any area in your life that's not working right, it's barren. It's not, you say, man, it's just not, there's not, I'm not being productive in this area. That could change. If you put the word out in front, put the word in your mouth, just like Abraham did, put the word in your heart, and as you give glory, your faith will begin to grow. It will begin to abound. As you give thanks, you'll be just like Abraham. You'll put yourself in a birthing position to give birth to the dream that you wouldn't... That Isaac was their dream. There's things in my life that, you know, I just give God the praise. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Well, I'm waiting for God to move it. No, you move it. Hallelujah. But here's what you got to do. You got to break forth into a song. You got to break forth into a shout before you see anything. That's the hard part. Because your body may not feel like, more likely, I'll just say this, your body doesn't feel like most of the time praising God. Listen, you know, I don't work full-time job, but some of you work full-time job. You're putting in a long day. You come in, the last thing you want to do is enter into your closet and pray with praise and thanksgiving. You just want to take that Nest, well, they used to have that Nest tea ice plunge, you know. Forget about everything else. I just want to... But God's saying if we'll put Him first, increase is coming. And actually in verse 3, I think in one translation, I don't have it written down, but it says, but I don't have it written down. But it says, increase is coming.
Amen.
Increase is coming. If you put the word first, you do what the word says, you put praise in your mouth, increase is coming. It may not be overnight, but increase is coming.
Amen.
Increase. Say that. Increase
is coming.
See, all because you put the word first. Amen. You put the word first. And God, when you honor God, that's what we said before, when you honor God, He honors you. And really, what God would have us to do is very, you know, it's not a big thing. It's not a big thing to put God first. It's about getting priorities in line. It's about, is this thing more important than God? Is this thing, what I'm doing, more important than preparing myself in His Word and in prayer? Is this thing more important or is God more important? It's priorities. It's what you want to put first. Well, hallelujah. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.